any pre like I don't really do anything showy. Yeah, like I just talk. Like I don't ever address my listeners or anything. Like I don't really do intros, but we should probably do an intro since you've never been on the show before.
Okay.
Catherine, thank you for coming on my show. I appreciate your time. We've been Twitter mutuals for a little bit, and I saw a tweet that you wrote. Actually, I should read it out. But first, would you before I read it out, would you introduce yourself, tell people who you are and
Sure.
what your interests are and where you teach and all that stuff?
I'm Catherine Liu. I'm a professor of film and media studies at UC Irvine. I actually have a PhD in French, and I wrote my dissertation in the 17th and 18th centuries. I kind of retrained myself as a film scholar, but mostly I'm interested in critical theory, and that to me justifies my shift from the Enlightenment to 20th century culture industry, because we're talking about larger historical epic arcs. And I went through a deep period of the Frankfurt School. I dealt a lot, I've written and read a lot of psychoanalysis, but I'm really interested in the contemporary university and what has happened to the whole notions of intellectual life, research, reason, and politics. I'm a leftist, but I'm a leftist who wants to focus, in a way, on class first within this arc of enlightenment to the contemporary formations of work, leisure, knowledge, pragmatism. So I'm sort of the la I'm sort of an old school theorist, which makes but I've al but I also kind of hate theories, the way that it's been institutionalized, but I really see myself as maybe like the last generation of like Frankfurt schoolers. So even though the Frankfurt School guys don't really include me in their stuff, which is fine.
Well, this is actually kind of this. Let me read the tweet that it got quite the share. It was you said in U.S. academia in 15 years there will be no more Shakespeare profs in English departments. There will be no French profs who work on 17th century. History will be made up of area studies. Maybe you say good riddance. I don't. So there's kind of two tweets inside of this. There's one that you stating a factual, like what you think to be like a factual, like, you know, like something that will happen in the future, whatever,
Slightly
like the lag,
hyperbolic,
which is
but
basically the sort of like slightly, hyperbolic, which is fine. It's an intervention. That's what Twitter is for. Pith does, needs to have a little bit of punch. But, you know, so there's two things. There's like this sort of project, this view of the future that you have of like what's going to happen to these departments. And then there's your assessment of whether this is a good thing or not. So I want to kind of separate them for the beginning, and then put them back together. So what I've you know, at the outset, we should probably say that like what you're describing is a mode of scholarship. What you're saying, at least this is how I read it, which is it's not that like these specific department, these specific jobs will be erased in fields, which maybe you're saying that, but like in general, a certain kind of scholarship won't be practiced. That a certain kind of scholarship that has taken pretty dominant form in like let's say three or four generations of scholar of like academia, that a certain shape around a language and a time period, right? So that like periods and region kind of are part of like your, you know, your characters, your like main scholarly character if it's like a video game. These are like your traits. And that's like you're saying, so what your tweet is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is saying like these kind of people will not be around. And on top of that, the people that have enjoyed like a long canonicity, like people like William Shakespeare, the people who study him, and the very large, actually, and we should probably get into Shakespeare too, because I wondered about that. But you know, the very large group of people are large enough relative to what it is we do. People who like make him their professional lives, like you're saying that like these kinds of characters won't will slowly start dying off from there. And actually, not that slowly, it's a decade and a half. So is that correct in that first part?
I mean, that's sort of what I'm saying. But, you know, the other part of me is like, things change and nothing. And as you say, it was like three or four generations of this formation that we've seen so far of English departments, prestige literature, field and period coverage. This is how you were trained. This is how I was trained. You have a period, you cover some things. And then when you go out on the job market, you're covering that period, and departments need to have field coverage. They need to have a phalanx of Shakespeareans. You're in Victorian, maybe restoration, medieval, pre-modern, contemporary, right? And that's like English, right? And then there's some big names, so there's fields that everyone specializes in. And really that kind of academia gets its best moment in the post-war period after 1945, because there's this huge expansion of the university because of the GI Bill. So you have all these returning soldiers who are of different classes who enter the university with government funding, right? Before this period of time, even the old fogies in the Yales and Harvards were like, oh my God, we're just a bunch of mediocre, pseudo aristocrats reproducing our class. Like, this is really horrible. We have to refresh our constituencies. And this is why, like, Harvard's president began to adapt the IQ test as the SATs to make a meritocracy rather than this, I call it a pseudo aristocracy, because we don't really have a landed gentry in the United States, but there was certainly like the old families of the Northeast, you know, that kind of wealthy, you know, North, just like horrible, sorry, waspy culture that was actually quite anti-intellectual. I mean, one of the things that American academics and intellectuals kept trying to do was invigorate the university with this idea of research, which wasn't something that American universities were very good at. There were seminaries before the 19th century. This is what I discuss in my book, American Idol, Anti-Elitism as Social Critique. I take the PMC on in the subsequent book, but I really think like I look at like the larger picture of how do we produce knowledge? How do we produce prestige? What is this institution of the university and the humanities within it? And so I'm giving you like this big picture thing, and you mentioned that it's really like three generations, right? It's 45 till now, where we have this idea that we're going to be teaching our students sort of the, we're going to have specializations. Let's just talk about graduate students, right? Each graduate student is going to have to make himself or herself recognizable through fields, through authors, and participate in this idea of prestige with regard to those fields and authors, because you're not going to be like Shakespeare will be better than who's that other guy? I really like it. His contemporary. Oh my God, I can't remember. There's a hierarchy of literary quality, right? And Shakespeare's the highest quality guy. And then there are sort of lower quality people, and you want to focus on the higher quality, highest quality literature. I don't like this particular formation, but it comes out of post-war liberalism, a kind of Cold War impetus to fight for hearts and minds, to show that, I mean, I really believe this, that Americans were also sophisticated literary people, because we were threatened by the Soviet Union and the Soviet Union's rise within the European intelligentsia as an attractive alternative, right? So so we have this moribund American university suddenly, you know, infused with funding, students, prestige, a research ethos, and, you know, can't forget, like, exiles from Europe, right? Especially German Jewish intellectuals who brought with them this idea of research. And in 1959, the Soviet Union puts Sputnik into orbit, and the Americans are like freaking out, right? Because it's like, they're so advanced scientifically, technologically. We have to keep up. We have to surpass them. And there's just this infusion of cash that goes into the into research, into the research university that comes from the government. And that infusion of cash, along with, you know, the wider public the university serves, you know, really puts, like, I think it was the pinnacle of the humanities as well in the 60s and the 70s. You know, we know what happens in the 70s. It's like the post-counterculture. Everyone's like, austerity happens, budgets get cut. And also the counterculture, like young people just turn against the greats, right? So you have, so this gives way to the cannon wars of the 80s. And by now we have like a complete like demotion of prestige, right? That comes a lot out of like left progressive critiques of the canon, right? I mean, I'm not like, oh, we need to keep everything the same way. I'm just like, let's look at what's happening because things are changing. What's happened in the English department at UC Irvine, for example, just from what I know about it, is that people have given up on field coverage. And, you know, even in our department, film and media studies, we used to think like we needed to have the Europeanist, the South Asianist, European cinema, South Asian cinema, our wish list was configured like this, right? And now all of that is gone because we hired, you know, in game studies, we hire, you know, new media keeps changing. And there's this idea that we have to keep up and diversify. So, you know, all of that old field coverage stuff, it's gone. Like I could have said, like, there's gonna be no one watching or teaching Italian neorealism. I could have said that, you know. Nobody knows who Vittoria De Sica is, right? But I could have said, no more De Sica in film studies, no more Kubrick. Just like we had that moment when film studies could have had these big auteurs and experts and specialists in those things. Many people are trained in that, but you know what? Gone. You know, just gone. We'll have people do field coverage. And, you know, the thing that we could say is like, that was such old stick and mud stuff and we have all this new diversity. But what has actually happened at UC Irvine is that they tell us like, we have no replacement positions. We call them FTE, full-time something or the others. The administration told us nobody gets any replacements. Somebody retires, there's no guarantee of replacement. But there are all these contests within the university for positions that you can apply to. So when your Shakespearean scholar retires, there's no replacement for him or her. When the new wave person, you know, we don't, like in film studies, we just had that for a moment. But let's say the European cinema person retires, no replacement. So that's the reality of what's happening now. What that means for me when I look at this sort of notion of academic freedom and autonomy is that that has been destroyed at the level of hiring because we're always competing. We're always competing with other departments. We have to show like this person is really great. And it's a lot of these initiatives are diversity initiatives. So, you know, no one wants to criticize that because then you'd be called a racist, right? I mean, we want to diversify the faculty and there are these diversity earmarked FTE. And, you know, the English department was like all white at UCI, just like 20 years, not even 20, when I arrived. Yeah, I think it was like maybe one person of color. And it is much more diverse now. So you're like, okay, well, it's going to be, we have Asian Americanists, African Americanists, we have, you know, people doing ethnic literature in the department that didn't have this before, that was very, you know, old school, right? Because in a way that only California can be, because they brought J. Hill Smiller from Yale and they wanted to make UCI like Yale in the Pacific or whatever, like a mimetic situation. I don't even know what's happening with the Ivy League. Like that is just so fucked up. I don't even want to think about what their situation is. But I'm just talking about the UC, and we educate a lot more people. They may set the prestige monikers, but I once figured out on the back of an envelope that The UC at any given moment has about 300,000 to 400,000 undergraduates in it. And the Ivy League at any given moment, like, doesn't have more than like a couple tens of thousands. You know, the scale is just so different, right? So this is the situation. This is what we're going for. And the Shakespeare stuff, and maybe the New Wave stuff, right, that once you could specialize in and hope to get a job as a professor teaching, is now relegated to a kind of field coverage, lower division class, like post-war cinema, post-war Hollywood. You know,
I mean, there's a lot